Celebrate the historic 100th Greeley Stampede, June 23rd through July 4th, featuring concerts, rodeo, carnival, and more. Tickets available at GreeleyStampede.org.
Six minutes after the 12 o'clock hour. Good afternoon, Northern Colorado, on this wonderful parade Thursday. Big parade happened downtown Denver today, celebrating the Stanley Cup winners and the Colorado Avalanche. I'm going to have, not that he's connected to the Avs, but my guy, Kyle Bell, former running back for CSU, was down there. So I'm going to get his thoughts. He had some great photos. So Kyle Bell, my guy. Yeah, I'll ask him a thing or two about CSU, but Blink-182 is like re-emerge. I don't know. I haven't been a Blink-182 fan in a long time, but they're re-emerging because, again, this song has kind of been the unofficial anthem for the Avalanche, but now I think it's the official anthem. It's pretty sweet, dude, honestly. They were down there. I think a couple of their bandmates were down there. They've been all over the place down there in Denver promoting things. So it's pretty sweet, man, that you have a parade in Denver. You haven't had one since, well, I guess you had the Broncos 2015. But congratulations to the Colorado Avalanche. How cool is it, though, just knowing that you have this great, I mean, it kind of just, we get it done and then we're talking about it Monday and you're thinking, okay, this is awesome. It's great. We take a little break from it. Then you pop it all back up on Thursday for this parade. And I'm not a big, like, parade guy, 4th of July parade, doing all that stuff. But this is different because it's a rarity. It's not every year stop by the big-time parade or what. This is something so unique to your city where you get to have the players celebrate. The fans celebrate. I mean, people were driving all over the place to go to this thing. And you know, Denver's crazy at any time. But you add a parade. I mean, what was there, a million people down there? I don't know what the Broncos. I had heard the Broncos parade generated like 2 million surrounding kind of. That's just what I heard. It might be unofficial. Might not be the stat of the day, Jades. But that was, it's just special. When you think about everything that the Avs went through to get to this point, Joe Sakic and building this team up. Darcy Kuemper got some clips from or some audio from Darcy Kuemper talking about what it means to be parading in Denver, whether or not he'll be back with the Avs next year. Here's Darcy.
I mean, this is amazing. Feels like the whole city's here, and wow, this is going to be a fun day. Oh, I love it here. How could you not look at this? This is amazing.
What are the chances then you come back?
I don't know. We'll see. Hopefully I'm back.
There's Vic Lombardi from Altitude talking to Darcy. And again, these guys are just having the time of their lives. Kadri was asked the same thing, whether he'd be back. He was on a radio show in like Toronto or something. I heard clips of it where he was just saying, hey, why wouldn't I want to come back to Colorado? It makes perfect sense. But he also kind of in the same breath said, but I, you know, hopefully people know and see my worth now and what I'm, you know, he's going to get money. He's going to get money. And I just don't see how the Avs are going to get him to a long-term big contract deal, knowing that they have to figure out their goalie situation, knowing that they have to get Nathan MacKinnon in the next, what, year or two signed up to a big deal. So I don't see it happening, but that doesn't matter today. It's all about the parade. You had fans getting audio here. A fan from what, Colorado Springs made the trek. This thing started at 9, and just to beat the traffic and stuff, you had to get an early start. Here's just a little audio from a fan.
This is Daniel. Daniel drove up from Colorado Springs.
Yes, I did.
What time did you leave?
We left at about 11:30.
11:30, leaving from Colorado Springs. Where'd you sleep?
We actually were in a parking garage, and we decided to drive over at about, like, 3 in the morning.
So why was this worth it for you?
I've watched Yaz my whole life, and I've always loved him, so this is awesome to see.
You guys have a great spot. You definitely locked it down.
Yeah.
Well done. Well done.
I mean, that's dedication. Are you a crowd guy? Is that, I don't know. I was just thinking about it. I was like, do we go down there? I mean, obviously, you have people working down there. It's just absolutely nuts. But you're never going to see anything quite like it. So, I mean, if you're a parade guy and you're into that, it's history and you're enjoying it. And again, we'll have Kyle Bell on to join us in a few minutes. Before we do all that, though, Jades, let's get to the good, the bad, and the ugly from the night before. Presented by FMS Bank, banking made simple. I got two good stories today. I know I'm not supposed to do that. Jades gets mad at me when I add a couple of different stories. Well, obviously, number one is the parade. You don't get to do this very often. You've done it. Now, this is the sixth parade of the Big Four. Brady, okay, the Big Four. And hopefully more are coming. Hopefully the Avs get right back to one next year. Hopefully the Broncos get to one. Hopefully we could be kind of in the golden era of Denver sports. So enjoy this. Enjoy the attention that your Colorado Avalanche are getting. Also, just you heard him moments ago on Clark and the Coach. Excited to announce that Blake Olson, beloved Denver media guy, was with Altitude for a very long time. I grew up watching him on Altitude. Blake Olson will now be the voice of the UNC Bears football team, the play-by-play voice, along with Aaron Rath. I believe we're going to be working with some with former UNC football player Matt Gaider on some home games and stuff, too. But a great team. Blake Olson, tremendous guy. I'm going to get him on the program tomorrow. Clark scooped the story from me and got him on today. Fantastic job. It just goes to show you, from the prep side, from the UNC side, from the talk side here, continuing to put together programming that relates to Northern Colorado. Blake's going to be sensational. Well, the bad. I guess it's bad. You got the series win. The Rockies win the series against the Dodgers, but they don't sweep. I thought maybe it was going to happen, but alas, it did not. Avs still have are up on the Dodgers, though, at this stage. 4-2 on the season series. They lose last night, 8-4. Marquez comes off in, like, the fourth inning, a blister or something, and he did not look right. Marquez is either going to be, I don't know. I don't know how to summarize his season so far. He's 4-6. He certainly had his great moments. He's had moments where he struggles in the first inning and then settles down, but he just didn't look right, and then you get the blister situation, and he's out. And the Dodgers get the dub. Rocks are off today. Back at it against Arizona to start the month of July. Can they pull themselves closer to that third wild card spot? A significant month. It's make or break time for the Rockies. I don't know that they weathered the storm necessarily. They at least finished the month strong of June. But June was not kind to them overall. They started the month of June. I'll get to the ugly in a moment. They started the month of June at, they were 22-27. So they were just five games under 500, and now they are 9 games under. So, you know, it wasn't like they totally fell off, or 10 games under. They didn't totally fall off, but it was enough to put you in a position where, okay, the June swoon still takes a bite out of the Colorado Rockies. Can they survive the month of July? We'll talk about that in a moment. And my ugly story, you know, we talked yesterday about Kyrie Irving and his situation and all the money thrown around there, and he's jumping around. How about James Harden? James Harden declined his $47.3 million option and will become a free agent. So, you know, from the Thunder to the Clippers, or to the Rockets, and then to Brooklyn, and you're thinking, oh, there's a championship team. That didn't work out. That was a dud. And Harden goes to the Sixers, and you're thinking it's going to work there. He's not quite the same guy, but he's making a lot of money. He declines the $47 million option. He'll be a free agent. However, he is still keeping it up in the air about negotiating a new deal with Philly. We'll see. We'll find out. But the ugly, I suppose, is just Harden's career. He goes from, like, this stud MVP. You're thinking, man, this guy's got to be, at some point, deliver a championship, but here you are, declining that option, wanting more money. Did he earn it? Does he deserve more than that? I mean, my goodness. 15 minutes after the hour, we're just getting started here. I will have former Colorado State running back Kyle Bell on the program. He was there at the parade. Great shots from him. I know he's a diehard sports guy in the area, too. So we'll talk to Kyle next. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. I have loads of Stampede tickets. Jordan Davis, American Bullfighting, Demolition Derby, Jeremy Camp, Cole Swindell. All those names that you guys probably know that are going to be performing at the Greeley Stampede. It's where you're running out of time to get down there, so we're going to try to hook you up throughout the day thanks to Buildings by Design. It's the whole show rolling on a parade Thursday. We'll be right back.
Clark and the Coach, weekdays at 11 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Celebrate the historic 100th Greeley Stampede, June 23rd through July 4th, featuring concerts, rodeo, carnival, and more. Tickets available at GreeleyStampede.org.
Hey, this is Harrison Wynn with DNVR Nuggets. You're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
James, I should have had you come in with some Metallica or something. Or we probably didn't even need bumper music for this one because my guy Kyle Bell, he can play. He can play. We could just get him to bring us in a few times. Kyle, my man, former CSU Ram running back. Kyle was at the parade today. How are you, my friend?
Hey, Brady, I'm doing great, man. Always good to be on with you.
Yeah, no question, man. I love catching up with you when we can. I know you're a busy guy. I know you're, like, running all these marathons all over the place. You look like you could still, like, you look better. Like, you could still be playing today, dude. Are you thinking about making a comeback or what?
Well, you know, going out and running 26 miles and not having somebody trying to take my head off is a lot different than trying to run 5 or 6 yards with, you know, 300-pound dudes just trying to annihilate you.
So. But that's cool, though. You see so many guys, college, pros, where they start try to stay in shape and stuff. But, man, you're just shredded as ever. I mean, it's just cool to see. What motivates you to just say, I want to continue to stay at this top peak performance shape?
Well, you know, man, I mean, it's been kind of an interesting story, but, you know, over the course of the last 10 years or so, you know, since I stopped playing, you know, always was into staying in shape, staying strong, and I never really let myself get out of shape. But I think it was about a year and a half ago where, you know, I just kind of realized I missed just kind of that, competition, you know, maybe not competing against other people or competing, you know, from a standpoint of being on a team, but just competing with myself. And so I was never a distance runner. You know, I ran one 10K all the way back in like 2011, I think it was. And, you know, kind of after COVID and everything, I'm just like, you know what, I'm just going to kind of do some different things. So I started running, set a goal to run a half marathon, which I did. And then I don't know if I can run a marathon or not, but I'll try it. And, you know, now I've done a couple. And so I just want to, you know, kind of get in that spirit of competition and just trying to, you know, kind of get better in that regard.
So. Yeah, it's fun to watch your journey, man. A lot of props to you and what you continue to do. Okay, so what was the parade like, dude? You had a monster shot. Was it Landeskog holding up the cup? It was a beautiful shot, my friend.
Yeah, it was kind of a really cool moment there. You know, that was the truck. They were kind of, you know, taking the back of the parade, so everybody else was in front of them. We had a pretty good spot there on 17th and Lawrence, my wife and I, we took our 7-year-old son Braxton down there. We got down there about 9 o'clock. So we just kind of lucked out, you know, found a really good spot right up against the fencing there and posted up there. But yeah, they came by. Everybody had the phones out, of course, but I just kind of snapped a couple and he kind of happened to turn right towards us, you know, and I snapped it right at the right moment. So, you know, that's kind of one of those things you remember, and just the whole day, you know, I think it's, you know, that's really why I wanted to take our son down there. You know, he's really been getting into the abs, you know, these last couple months, obviously with the playoffs and watching him all the time. And so, you know, I go back to when I was 10 years old, you know, watching the abs win the cup back in 95, kind of my, you know, the first championship for Denver. So, you know, just kind of one of those things, you know, you kind of, it took me back to when I was a kid, and obviously for him, you know, it'll be something that he'll remember too.
Oh, I mean, yeah, that's got to be so cool. We were just talking about it before we got you on. Like, I mean, six championships, you know, the Broncos and the Avs, so six parades. It's awesome, but it doesn't seem like that much when you compare it to the other, some of these other legendary cities, but we're gaining, we're getting there. But how special is that? I mean, to bring your kiddo there, to see the great Avs players ride by on the fire trucks and everything with the cup. I mean, you're right. That's something he's never going to forget.
Well, and that's kind of what I was thinking about, too. It's like between, you know, our four major sports franchises, we've had, what, you know, maybe 160, 170 seasons worth, you know, between the four sports. And, yeah, six championships. So it's not something that certainly happens a lot. You know, I was kind of spoiled as a kid. You know, when the Avs came to town in 95, I was 10 years old. And so it kind of in that, when I was 10 to about 16, you know, four championships. So, you know, kind of really got spoiled growing up as a kid. So hopefully, you know, the way I look at it now is maybe we can kind of get back into that same, you know, for the next, you know, 5, 6, 7 years, maybe get a couple cups, maybe get a Lombardi or two, kind of, you know, relive those, you know, those times we had back in the late 90s.
Yeah, I think you and I are right around that same age, too. So, yeah, it was. Like, I don't even realize what we had. We win, you know, the Avs get here, and it's bam, you have a Stanley Cup. And then a couple of years later, you know, I felt like I was an old guy. You know, oh, the Broncos have never won this thing. But I was like 12 or 13, and right. They won. And we were spoiled there in the 90s, man.
Right. I just remember my dad, you know, when I think it was, yeah, the first Super Bowl, you know, they were going to. My dad's like, hey, it wasn't always like this. We've had to go through a lot of heartbreak. You don't really understand, you know. So he's like, feel lucky you're getting to see this, because a lot of people have had to wait a long time to see this.
And I know you're a diehard fan. All right, so we've been messing around with this a lot throughout the week. We're looking at who's going to be next. Like, the Broncos have Russell Wilson, so you certainly think, okay, they're at least a playoff team. Maybe they're better. Maybe they're a contender. The Nuggets have been a playoff team for a while now. They're getting healthy. The Avs, I know they have a couple of contracts to figure out with Kadri and Darcy Kuemper, but in your mind, who's parading next?
I mean, I think the favorite's got to be the Avs to probably do it again. I mean, just the momentum they're creating by having won this one. Obviously, it's going to be hard. You know, it's always hard to repeat. You know, once you get to the top, it's hard to stay there. But I think just from a, you know, maybe more logical standpoint, maybe the odds are probably in their favor. Hopefully, the Broncos aren't too far behind. You know, I think it might take them a year just to kind of get, you know, kind of get everything figured out, you know, with a new coaching staff and a new quarterback and a new team. So so hopefully they're not too far, you know, after that. And then, you know, the Nuggets, man, I think they are right there too, at least in that conversation of getting there. And, you know, how cool would it be, you know, to maybe be celebrating, you know, three sports, three championships? That would be, I think, probably, you know, peak for us as fans. Obviously, I don't think the Rockies are going to be there anytime soon. But
you know what? They give me hope because for some reason they have the Dodgers number this year. But other than that, they don't have anybody else's number.
I'm a sucker for baseball, though, man. That was always my sport as a kid. That was always my favorite. So, you know, if you were to ask me if I had to pick which one I would want to see next, it would be the Rockies. But hey, you know, let's be real.
It might be a while, my man. But, hey, they've been to the World Series, so it's not impossible, even though that season was almost impossible.
Yeah.
We're talking to Kyle Bell, former CSU running back. Kyle, my man, so are you starting to follow up a little bit more on the CSU situation? I know we talked to you a while back about Jay Norvell and the excitement, and, you know, you even felt like, you know, I haven't really been into it as much. Maybe the coaches weren't reaching out as much. Jay Norvell just seems like he's that kind of guy that's grabbing all the alums, all the CSU greats like yourself, and bringing them back in to promote the program.
Well, yeah, man, you're so right in that regard. You know, I had to go a chance all the way back in February to go to the Ram Roundup. You know, they usually do annually just to kind of introduce a lot of the new recruits, the new commits, the guys, you know, after signing day. And obviously it was kind of Coach Norvell's, you know, kind of first, I think, introduction to more of the donors, more of the alumni. So I had a chance to go to that. I had a chance to meet Coach Norvell, shake his hand, and just, I mean, talk to him for, you know, I got a good 4 or 5 minutes of just kind of conversation with him. And so even just right in there, you know, sometimes you just get a gut feeling when you're talking to somebody, when you're in their presence, you just kind of get that gut feeling that they're different. And I totally got that from Coach Norvell, you know, going to the spring game and just kind of seeing more former players probably more former players engaged than I've seen in a real long time. And between them being excited and like you said, I think the staff really just kind of being very proactive and trying to get guys back and become, you know, hey, this is your program too. You know, and I think we did kind of over the last, you know, maybe 2, 3, 4 years, kind of that feeling wasn't quite as strong. And in all honesty, you know, the last 2 years probably kind of was really disappearing. So it's great to have that back.
You have to get guys that can really immerse themselves into it, because most coaches that go to a program, I mean, a lot of times anyway, they're not alum. They didn't play there. They have to create that. They have to have that manifestation of I'm a Ram now mentally. And part of doing that, it's hard work, but you have to be engaging, not just with your fans in the community, but your alums, your former players that help build this thing. So I know it's a lot of work, but he seems like he's ready for that grind, man.
Well, you're right. I mean, it's one thing for them to talk the talk. I think a lot of coaches come in and they'll say they want, you know, alumni to be involved. They'll say they want guys to be coming back. But I mean, coaches, they're doing the Ram walk now. They're doing this thing coming up this fall. They did it for the spring game where, you know, the Friday evening, you know, before the game, even on the road, they're going to do it. So basically the Friday evening before the game, you know, current players and the former players are invited. And they're going to, you know, you're going to lock arms and you're going to walk the length of the field. And if you are not a current Ram player or a previous Ram player, you do not get the privilege of being out there on the field. So, you know, Coach Norvell, all those guys included won't even be out there because they, you know, they weren't, as far as wearing the green and gold, you know, putting on the pads and being a part of that program. It's for those guys only. So I think kind of maybe creating that a little bit more exclusive feeling to it as well will you know, hopefully be a really cool new tradition that we'll be celebrating for, you know, for a long time to come.
I mean, did Jay ask you, are you sure, dude, you don't have one more year of eligibility left? Did that come up at all?
Yeah, I said that, hey, what strings can you pull, man? Just give me, you know, give me one more year. I mean, the COVID year,
did,
right?
Did you get a COVID year?
Can I get a retroactive year? You know, I might only be good for a couple carries a game because, you know, the back might not hold up as well as it used to, but I tell you what, man, that, you know, I'm just excited, though. It's great to really, you know, feel like, you know, this fall coming up, there's a lot of excitement around it.
No question, my man. And I try to go to games as a media guy sometimes, but I'll be honest, it's just so boring. I'd rather go sit in the stands with you, and let's try to do that. Let's make that happen, man. I'd love to go watch a game with you, who knows way more what you're talking about when it comes to the X's and O's. That would be a blast for me.
Hey, you know I'm in for that, man.
All right, my man. Hey, I'm glad you had fun down there. Got to bring the family down there. What a great moment for you. Always love catching up with you. But I just thought, dude, that was a great picture. You're having a blast. Let's get you on the program.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Brady. I appreciate it, bud.
All right, my man. There's Kyle Bell. Great dude. And that's a guy you want representing Colorado State. Like, why are you, if you're a head coach, you're not reaching out and getting these guys on more and more? You got to do it. You got to get him involved. And Jay Norvell's that guy. He is that guy. I don't know what it's going to look like on the field, but he's at least doing all the other stuff, all the small things. Right, Jades? Oh, wow. How did that happen? I don't know. We found a way to do it. Yes, thank you. Okay, what do you want to give away? Jordan Davis, American Bullfighting, or Demolition Derby? What do you want, Jades? You pick.
It's Jordan Davis's light.
All right, Jordan Davis. Jordan, it's not the UNC Bear, former UNC Bear Jordan Davis. Jordan Davis is playing Saturday. I'll tell you what, we'll do this. You get to pick. You either get Jordan Davis, Demolition Derby, or American Bullfighting. American Bullfighting, Jordan Davis are on Saturday. Demolition Derby is on Monday. So I'm going to go caller number 5 right now on the First Advantage Hotline. You get to pick, dude, either the Jordan Davis tickets, a pair, or Demolition Derby tickets, or American Bullfighting. Caller number 5, 970-353-1310. That's 970-353-1310. Kevin Lytle coming up next. He's my Rams insider. Got my Method Flow Products poll question up and running. Which college football team will be the most successful in 2022? Colorado State, Wyoming, Northern Colorado, or Colorado? We're going to talk about that next with Kevin. We'll be right back. Let's get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
Celebrate the historic 100th Greeley Stampede, June 23rd through July 4th, featuring concerts, rodeo, carnival, and more. Tickets available at GreeleyStampede.org.
This is Jeff Linder, head men's basketball coach of the University of Wyoming Cowboys, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
After the hour. I had Jade so busy getting the tickets given away. We don't have Lytle up on the First Advantage hotline. So we're going to get Kevin Lytle on from the Colorado and the Method Flow Products poll question of the day. Which college football team will be the most successful in 2022? CSU, Wyoming, UNC, or CU? How about this news? USC and UCLA, Pac-12's flagship programs perhaps, are considering leaving the conference for the Big Ten as early as 2024. Ouch. A source confirmed that to ESPN this morning. There's still a formal notification process to go, but the two schools have let the Pac-12 know their intentions to leave, and they also have to formally apply to the Big Ten. But yikes, bad news for the Pac-12. We have him on, though, Kevin Lytle from the Fort Collins, Colorado. And Kevin, interesting news in college football today.
Yeah, this is a pretty wild one. I mean, I know I've said on your show, I keep saying it, that there was certainly going to be at least one more big realignment move. Didn't see this one coming. Not gonna.
Did we lose Kevin? Let's see if we got him. Is he still there? Kevin, are you good? We lost you for a second.
Okay, yeah. The trickle-down effect of this move could just be massive. There are a million different ways it could go.
Yeah, no question, man. I mean, we've talked about this with all the new stuff going on in college sports. But then again, realignment always jacks with everything. We've experienced it. But doesn't it just feel like we got players leaving teams left and right, NIL deals left and right, kids leaving early to go to the pros, and now you're just getting programs that are like, you know what, we don't like it here anymore. We're just moving on. Everybody's just not satisfied. The grass is always greener.
Yeah, it's pretty wild right now. Probably the most transformative times in college sports, you know, in the history of college sports, I would say. I'm trying to not be prisoner of the moment, but I feel like that one is pretty accurate.
Yeah, man, it's crazy. I don't know what it's going to do. I mean, of course, we talk, I know, Kevin, cover your ears. We talk Buffs sometimes. We do talk Pac-12. So that's going to be interesting to see how that one all plays out. That move to the Pac-12 still coming back every year. It feels like it just comes back to haunt the Buffs more and more.
Yeah, I mean, it's the Pac-12. Let's assume this move goes through, and it's sure sounding like it's pretty close to done. But assuming it does, man, the Pac-12 is in a world of hurt, because it's already, you know, certainly among the power conferences, it's struggling. And now if you look at it, if you take those teams out of it, that's not a very good football conference. It's not a very good basketball conference, to be honest. Like I say, there are a million trickle-down effects, but, man, I mean, are they going to go try and raid, you know, some of the Mountain West? You know, that's pretty much the only footprint you have, you know, somewhat realistically, although I'm not sure what realistic means anymore. But what's the Pac-12 going to do? Could the Mountain West try and, you know, counterpunch and maybe poach the other way, or, you know, maybe go get a Gonzaga and St. Mary's and build a, you know, an epic basketball conference and hope that will keep everyone on board? I mean, there are just, like I say, a million different ways I can go right now. If this move goes through,
that's all interesting too, because I like the counterpunch thing. Does the Mountain West get extra, you know, aggressive trying to get one of these teams over there? But then you could also see in the Pac-12. I mean, you know, we've talked about Boise State for years. Colorado State certainly gained some momentum there in the McElwain time. But could that be potential? Could we ultimately see CSU in that Power 5 spot? Because the Mountain West just kind of, I mean, as this goes, it does seem like the conference got a little bit stronger today when you see all these other news.
Yeah, I mean, you can definitely see, you know, let's say the Pac-12 wants to, you know, stay afloat, basically, and raid the Mountain West. You figure San Diego State is a prime candidate. You know, there's Southern California, help replace some of the Southern California they'd be losing. You know, they have a new football stadium. Obviously, their basketball team is always great. Boise State will certainly throw their hat in the ring. The Pac-12 has always kind of turned their noses up at them because of academics and stuff, but standards can drop when you're desperate. You know, obviously CSU would want to be in the conversation. You know, you could argue the CU-CSU pairing could be good for the league, and, you know, the league would then own the state of Colorado. So you could see that. Certainly Air Force, you know, ends up in conversations. So yeah, I mean, there are definitely going to be talks. I'm going to guess Joe Parker's phone is pretty hot right now.
Wow.
The big question is if it's incoming calls or outgoing calls, because that's a big difference sometimes.
Maybe a mixture of both. Hey, we might see the Rocky Mountain Showdown become a regular thing again.
Well, it absolutely should be. It's disgraceful
right.
that it's not already. But yeah, I mean, obviously there is an argument to be made that could be useful for a Pac-12. There's also an argument to be made that, you know, they wouldn't really gain much by adding CSU as well. So there's the tug and pull of it. I know, you know, green and gold people, you know, certainly want to think, you know, it'd be a slam dunk, but it's not that easy. But I guess the good thing is there are not that many options if the Pac-12 wants to expand. There's the Mountain West teams. I suppose you could go try and poach some of the Big 12 teams out of Texas. I'm not sure that would work, but you could try. But man, it's tough. This is a wild one. I mean, this is they're all monumental, but this is a monumental one.
No question. Part of me is kind of excited, though, about the prospect of what that would look like. And I'm a big fan of the Mountain West. Certainly, basketball season was so much fun last year. So I'm kind of, it would be bittersweet. But my goodness, Kevin, if you have a chance, if the Rams were realistically in that conversation, I'm just in the back of my head, I'm thinking, Nico Medved, if Jay Norvell's a stud and he turns out to be amazing. Well, there's just, I mean, again, I know it's Pac-12. They might be feeling like they're in shambles, but at the end of the day, at this point, at least on the 30th of June, Pac-12 is still a Power 5 conference.
Yep, and you know, they still have TV deals that
yeah.
bring in all that money. I would love to hear the conversations among some TV execs, you know, that think that over the next, you know, 8 years, they're going to be, you know, having a bunch of USC games, and they just lost that. I doubt they're thrilled about that at the moment. But yeah, it's right now the money is still, you know, in these power leagues. It's, you know, it's varied across those leagues, but it's still the place to be compared to like a Mountain West. Financially,
yeah.
at least.
No, you're exactly right. Even though the Mountain West said, hey, but we changed up our divisions. We're not doing the Mountain West anything anymore. We're going to, everybody's, it's a free-for-all. That's not going to be appealing if it's like, you could move to the Pac-12.
Yeah, I mean, the money just speaks volumes. And so, like I say, unless the Mountain West can counterpunch somehow, you would think teams would still be, you know, looking to potentially leave the Mountain West and go join even a decimated Pac-12 because the money is still higher. But again, maybe there are other counter moves that we haven't thought of or that we don't know. But man, like I say, you know, I mentioned Joe Parker, Craig Thompson, the same. I bet his line is blown up. We've talked about before. If you're waiting to react when these things happen, you're gonna be behind. You need to be proactive, even if it doesn't necessarily mean, you know, you're signing papers to move a conference. You need to be having, you know, conversations all the time about, you know, what if this happens? What should we do there? If this happens, what should we do there? Because if you wait until all this is done, you could end up without a chair when the music stops.
Well, and you have to be so calculated in this process, too, if you're Joe Parker, because, you know, going to the Pac-12, obviously that would be great for where you are, but you don't want to get to the point where, I mean, you piss off the con, you know, and again, it's not like
yeah.
the Mountain West would kick you out, but at the same time, you kind of have to walk that fine line. Look, we love the Mountain West. It's amazing,
yep.
but Pac-12 would be pretty cool, too.
Yeah, and that's kind of always been Joe Parker's line publicly when asked about it is, you know, we're founding members of the Mountain West. We, you know, we're very proud of that. You know, we think it's a strong association that we enjoy being part of, but we also have to do what's best for the university, and if that means, you know, elsewhere, then, you know, we'll look at all possibilities. So kind of, yeah, you have to toe that line. It is awkward. And to be fair, the conferences know it. I mean, Craig Thompson isn't dumb. If a Big 12, a Pac-12, Big 10 call one of his schools in the Mountain West and offers them a full share in that league, you know, he knows he can count. So he knows that the money's different. So, you do have to toe the line, but everyone kind of gets in at a certain point. You got protect yourself rather than worry about your supposed friends in the league.
Yeah, it's going to be very interesting to see how this all plays out. And again, nothing's official yet, but it sure feels like we're on our way to that. Kevin Lytle joining me from the Fort Collins, Colorado. Kevin, I wanted to ask you this question. You are one of the, and I'm not sucking up to you, I think you're one of the most respected reporters in the state. I love following what you do. You've done a phenomenal job with Colorado State. But, okay, I have to ask you this question. Mike Chambers, who you know, Mike Chambers is partying with the Avs. He's drinking out of the Stanley Cup. I'm a radio guy. I'm taking pictures with Roddy. I'm getting him to sign autographs. I am a fan. I am. I admit that. I am a fan. I'm critical, but I'm a fan. Do you think it's okay for you to root for CSU to win? In, you know, deep down, that's not like you're tweeting, hey, let's go team. But do you root for CSU to win?
Yeah, I mean, I saw that and have had conversations, you know, offline with you know, other folks. And to be frank, you know, I will say I don't know the full context of how the foe came about, what was happening, just the foe. But, you know, I, you know, inappropriate behavior is the first thing that came to my mind for a journalist, a beat reporter covering the team. I certainly, you know, if the same, so to speak, situation happened at CSU, you know, say they win whatever, the college football playoff, I certainly wouldn't be in that situation myself, but there, you know, I would say it depends a little bit on your situation and you know what your job is and everything. But myself as a, you know, CSU beat reporter, in that similar situation, I think I would have acted differently.
So you would, let's say if you were there, let's say you were the Avs beat reporter, and Gabriel Landeskog comes up to you with the Stanley Cup and says, "Take a drink from this cup," you wouldn't do it?
I mean, like I say, you know, easiest day for me from sitting here, not in that situation, but, you know, I would say no would be, my answer. And I, you know, like I say, I don't know all the circumstances and everything, but I would feel like my bosses wouldn't be thrilled if that happened. And frankly, I would probably feel uncomfortable. You know, there's sort of a, you know, certainly you get close with people on your beat, but, you know, as, you know, like the local newspaper beat reporter, there's still a little bit of a wall of separation, you know, just business-wise, professionalism-wise, because you're not part of the team. You're not doing PR for the team. And that's where the discomfort for me would come from of, you know, it's not my job to cheerlead. It's to, you know, report on whatever's happening, good or bad. Now, that being said, anyone that claims that results don't matter is lying. I certainly don't root for CSU. You know, I'm not losing sleep over wins or losses, but it's certainly better for everyone to cover winning teams. Like that's just, you know, straight up logic. Wins are more fun to be around than losses are, you know, just as a human being. So no doubt that, you know, being around a winning team is a good thing.
Well, and you see it in your readership, too. I mean, and again, Adazio's stuff was interesting because it was just a sideshow. But, you know, you covering Nico Medved's run to the March Madness tournament, probably a little different than, you know, when things kind of puttered out for Mike Bobo or something like that. And that's where I talked about this on the show yesterday, Kevin, with no disrespect. I said, hey, if you're not comfortable with it, if your bosses say no, then absolutely it's a no-go. You can't do it. But if the Denver Post is cool with it, then it does become up to you. Where do you want to align yourself with? Me, I'm a radio guy. You know, I mean, we get into it. We have a good time with it. I get where you're coming from with it at the same time. I guess with me personally, I'm like, I don't have a problem with it. I don't have a problem with it either way. If you would have turned down a drink from the Stanley Cup, I would have been like, damn, you are a greater man than I am. But still, I get where you're coming from.
Yeah, and like I say, you know, different circumstances, you know, dictate things. And I will say I'm always or try and lean on the more cautious side as far as, you know, what's posted on social media and everything as well. So that's probably part of where I'm coming from as
True.
Well.
But yeah, but
yeah, it's certainly an interesting situation. It is, I guess, a side part of the job that, you know, not everyone sees or understands. You know, you spend a ton of time around the people whatever beat you're on. And so you're going to have relationships, you know, some people on that beat don't like you, but there are others that, you know, just as humans, you get along really well, you know, you just connect. So there is, you know, I guess blending there because you are human beings and, you know, hockey season is a long, long one and, you're going to be around those people a long time. So certainly you're going to have some people that, you know, you just get along with really well. So, As a human being, you're going to, you know, like some of the people you're around all the time. So that absolutely plays into some of this as well, I think.
Yeah. No, I hear where you're coming. I wanted to get your thoughts on it, Kevin, because I know you and I probably differ a little bit there. But again, that's different careers and such, radio versus paper and all that. And that doesn't take anything away, give or take, if you were to take, in my opinion, if you were to party or not. But you are a very well-respected reporter, no question about it. So you're telling me you wouldn't go have a beer with Steve Addazio anytime soon?
I haven't got that invite yet. We'll just say that.
I had to throw it in once. Kevin, I always appreciate you, dude. Nobody better, in my opinion. I know we got some big things cooking between KFK and the Colorado one coming up soon, so we love working with you guys.
Yeah, absolutely. Likewise, it's always fun.
All right, my man. There he is, Kevin Lytle, Fort Collins, Colorado. And I knew Kevin was going to go there. In fairness, I knew he was going to go there because we've had these conversations before. But I am a fan of the team. I can get critical, but Jades, you know, I might have a hard time going, hey, let's not take pictures of this and blast it all over. But then again, I don't know, bro. Okay, we'll take a break. I'll recap that in a minute. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. Demolition Derby tickets. First caller right now. I got a pair. Let's go. Buildings by Design. Thank you for the tickets. Caller number one, 970-353-1310. You got a pair of tickets to go see the Demolition Derby. Expensive tickets. We'll be right back.
Get the insight you need before making that pick. Listen to Betting Across America with former Buff Mike Pritchard. Weekdays at 2 on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, Nugget fans. This is Coach Bowen of the Denver Nuggets, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Well, we blew through that hour. Second hour coming up. We got a lot to get to. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.